Wait a minute, what am I doing? Two men in a what? Two friends from film school, one who graduated, one who did, and they decided to make a podcast. Okay, this has never been done before, right? Okay. This is Matthew and Harrison's Two Men in a Movie. It's not what it sounds like.
Welcome to the Two Men in a Movie podcast, where each week one man shows another man a movie he can't believe he hasn't seen. As always, I'm the man who smells like many women's husband. Husband? They all share one. Matthew Olenschecht, joined as always by the man who smells like no man's husband. No woman's husband. There we go. But does smell like one man's wife. Harrison Poole, work husband and co-host. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Pretty good. I had a scare earlier this week.
Oh?
So our friend and former guest of the show, Jenna.
Sure.
Jenna brought me to see a mystery movie at Cinemark. This is a thing, apparently.
Yes.
I did not know. What a novel concept.
AMC does the same thing.
So we went there, and it was a horror movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like jump scares. So the whole time, I was like, And she's like, "Are you okay? I'm sorry." I'm like, "You don't need to apologize. I'm just gonna jump every time. I'm doing fine. I'm enjoying the movie. I'm going to jump every time. And I'm gonna try to not look at the screen when I know a jump scare is gonna happen. I'm having a good time. It's okay."
What movie was it?
It's Shelby Oaks.
I'm so excited to see Shelby Oaks. It's written and directed by Chris Stuckman, who's like a YouTube movie reviewer, but also he's from this area.
Yeah, it's an Ohio movie.
Yeah.
It's set in Ohio. There's a point where I'm like, Mansfield Prison.
Every once in a while, like once or twice in the 9 months I worked there, he ordered on the app at Sheetz and then came to pick it up.
That's cool. He's like local.
Yeah. Like Akron, Cleveland. Like, yeah.
Gotta find him. No, it's my only criticism of the movie is that I wish the whole movie was like the opening. And I think that's
okay.
Unreasonable for feature length for me. Because the opening is like a little like documentary about
like found footage.
Yeah, like a found footage, but also like it cuts to like talking head interviews.
Oh, okay.
It's like you're watching it. And I was like, is this going to be the whole movie? Because if this is the whole movie, that's fascinating. And I'm really into it. If the whole movie is us watching the documentary Shelby Oaks, about like watching a horror movie, but like watching the events of a horror movie, but through a documentary about it. Mm-hmm. I'm like, that'd be fascinating. And it wasn't that. It was a cold open. Great movie. But I'm like, man, if the whole movie was that, that's incredible. It's like taking the Blair Witch thing and like turning it on its head. When it's not just found footage, it's produced found footage.
See, I've always, not always, recently I had the idea of like, you know how slashers at this point are so subverted upon a subgenre that like when someone makes a normal slasher, it's almost refreshing?
Yeah.
Like, why doesn't found footage do that? And I get that there's like, you have to kind of believe in the fourth wall and like it stretches what the fourth wall is to its absolute extreme, but like so rarely, if ever, do found footage movies ever comment on other found footage movies outside of maybe a joke like this is getting a little Blair Witchy.
Because I was just thinking, an example I was thinking of like a good thing was like if you watch like a slasher movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's filmed like a true crime doc. We're just talking head interviews in it, and like it would be very hard to make scare. I get why they don't do it. It'd be very hard to keep that vibe and also have it be scary. So I get that's probably why it's only the cold opening.
I mean, was the cold opening scary or was it just like really interesting?
It was less scary than the rest.
Okay.
It was less spooky. There was one thing where anything that was scary, they'd cut to like a bit of like found footage.
Sure.
And they'd be like, oh, God. But like other than that, I don't know how you could build up the dread in that.
Yeah. I'm actually very interested because I generally speaking find the first 20 minutes of any found footage movie very tedious.
Then the first 20 of this movie was fascinating, and the transition from that style to the cinematic style the rest of the movie employs is such a good transition. It is literally going from one shot to another.
Okay.
And it is incredible.
Okay.
Going from the real life shot to the cinematic shot, seeing the same thing, and it's amazing.
Hell yeah, I'm so excited.
I agree with some criticism that it's not the most groundbreaking horror movie, but it's very serviceable.
Sure.
It doesn't need to be like brand new. It's a fun horror movie. It's a fun horror movie. There's exactly one moment towards the end. So yeah, I want to see if you can find it. Maybe experience something where everyone in the theater chuckled. There's not like a ton of like relief from the tension, but there's just one out of place moment where you just like, and then like the whole fucking like theater just laughed. I'm like, that's good. This guy's good.
Yeah, he's like a YouTube movie reviewer. But he also does his own short films.
I can tell
because like, he's this is a project he's wanted forever.
He made a very good epoxy.
Sure,
like a copy of something. It's epoxy, right?
Like a Xerox.
It's like a term.
Epoxy's glue.
Yeah, no, I'm
like a Xerox is the copy machine.
Yeah, but it's not Xerox. It's like an E word. Doesn't matter. He makes a very good example of like early YouTube videos.
Yeah,
that's part of the plot. And like the graphics in there, I was laughing at the camera works and like camp, because I'm like, it's so true though. That's 100% what this channel would have looked like when it came out. 100% it would look like this.
I want to say it was inspired by like a real story, quote unquote. Like, I don't know how real any of whatever is, but like, or like he read something that was like, oh, that's the thing. That's the thing I want to make.
I could see where. If it's based on a real thing, I could see where the real thing is and where it stops.
Sure.
But no, it was fun to just be like, Ohio. And it's like a map of Ohio. I'm like, I know where that's at. And then it's like Cleveland News. I'm like, oh, Cleveland. Ohio. Hey, that's Mansfield Prison. How they make it look so spooky.
On I know. When it actually comes out, which I want to say is later this month, I'm not against doing a show, like an episode on it.
Yeah, we should do an episode on it. It's good. I will say the other criticism I have is that the last 10 minutes, chronic horror movie protagonist brain. The whole theater's like, no! No! I'm like, you've been so... you haven't been smart. You made some really bad choices, but they're like, not stupid choices. You just made some questionable choices. You were making dumb choices here. And I'm sure when you see it, you'll be like, oh, emotions. But like, I was like, what are you doing?
Also, if you don't know you're in a horror movie, like...
At that point, she knows she's in a supernatural horror experience.
Okay.
And I told Jenna, and she didn't agree with me. I'm like, honestly, I feel like the ending could have been like... I feel like a lot of trouble in this movie could have been resolved if she just got a Catholic priest to do like exorcisms.
Okay.
You never see that in horror movies, I realize. Do you ever see someone like, I'm gonna try to get a priest to do an exorcism, except in The Exorcist?
Do they bring an exorcist into the first Conjuring before they bring in the...
I haven't seen The Conjuring. It bothers me in the same way that I know that Ed Gein documentary is bothering people, in which I know the true story, and so it bothers me how fictitious it is.
Sure, 100%. Also, the fact that the man does not look like Patrick Wilson at all. They got the handsomest man, truly the handsomest man.
The issue is, how many leading caliber actors are there that are like dumpy, ugly men?
In 2000, when that first one came out, 2011, let's say, not many.
Like, there's not that. There's like to play the Penguin, they had to make Colin Farrell like not Colin. Is it Colin Farrell? No, it's the other
one.
Yeah,
it's Colin Farrell.
Colin Farrell. Like, they had to do like prosthetic work to make him ugly.
Also, have you seen the interviews where he just complains about the fat suit for all, like, he had to wear the fat suit all time and how much he hated wearing it? And I'm like, we didn't ask you to do that. There are so many fat actors who could play. Also, you're kind of saying, I hated living in my body. Like,
two things. One, the director made him do it.
Sure. He's an adult. Sure.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, he's offered a job and we complain about things we choose. Like, you choose to, like, you do things and you complain about it. I get it. I get complaining about being like, fuck, this sucks.
Sure.
Because, you know, you're an actor. Like, even if you enjoy doing the role, there's going to be something you're like, fuck. It's like people in Dune were like, fuck, there's so much goddamn sand.
Sure.
Or, what's her actual name? Amelia Clark complaining about, like, yeah, we're fucking filming in, like, a quarry for, like, years in just like 100-degree weather. It fucking sucked.
Oh, sure.
And two, yeah, no, I imagine it's uncomfortable to be fat.
There are times it's incredibly uncomfortable. And then for the most part, you're kind of just used to
and
it.
Imagine, well, imagine if it wasn't like fully part of you. That's the thing.
I have been thin. And
the fat.
It's the same.
The fat sweats on a being, but not on the penguin. That's just holding in heat.
It's fine. I'm trying to like get healthier more for my own mental whatever, because there's the annoying thing that like eating fruit and drinking water and going for a walk actually do improve my mood every once in a while. Not always, but every once in a while. So I'm trying to do that more, but like I'm pretty good at my body. I hated it forever.
You know who else
was
good
at
their
body?
That woman who wrote All About That Bass. And you know what? But you know what? As soon as they gave her a mesopreptol, she took it.
Yeah, and honestly, good for her. Like Meghan Trainor, I'm fine with that. Whatever she wants to do. And if a doctor recommended Ozempic to me medically, I'd probably take it medically. I don't think I would take it just to have it.
I can't say it's fully a good thing because of the pharmaceutical industry. But I think that if it was divorced from the pharmaceutical injury, it's a very good drug to have like available.
Also, we're still waiting for the studies. Yes, it's a newish drug. It has been used in the market for almost 30 years. People have been using Ozempic for its side effects for like a decade. We kind of have an idea. Yeah. Like doctors who study this shit, not me, I'm a stupid person, but doctors who study this shit kind of have an idea relatively how it's going to turn out.
I mean, I did my own study on it and it's good.
Yeah.
I took a bunch of fat rats and I gave them it and they got thin. I'm like, how are you feeling? You feel like you're going to die? And they went, because they're rats.
Yeah.
And I took that as a yes, though.
Okay.
And that's science. Because my mom's a nurse.
And my mom's a physical therapist. That doesn't mean I know anything.
That means you're very knowledgeable on things related to physical therapy. If you said something, like someone was doing something in like a basketball game and you said that's bad for their bones, I'd believe you.
Okay.
It's how the world works. If you have a little bit of anything in you, it's the entire aspect of you.
Sure.
That's why I'm Romani now.
You're insane.
My culture. Don't make fun of my culture.
I didn't make fun of your culture.
Hey, to some people, having 1% Romani blood means you're Romani.
Sure.
We call those people virulent racists.
I was going to say one drop rule. Like, what are we talking about here?
But it is fun to just like I see someone making fun of like a Scandinavian. I'm like, I'm like 5% Scandinavian. How dare you?
Have you seen the poem, the poem, something like, Thoughts from a Quadroon or some shit?
No.
Like, so it's this woman who is a quarter black and identifies as black in whatever live your life. Visibly, she is slightly tan, but she could pass as white. And in the poem, she's like, I'm 3/4 Massa and 1/4 Coon. And also has the line, Obama is a mulatto. That's the one drop rule.
I love her. Is she single?
I don't know. Look her up.
That's a person that understands their culture.
Listen. And I am happy that they are expressing their thoughts through art.
I know we're two white people.
Uh-huh.
Well, I'm Polish and Romani, so I'm pretty far from white, all things considered. But, you know, I can pass.
Sure.
How black does someone have to be to say the N-word?
I've thought about this a lot. I've thought about this a lot. Because can Halsey say it? Because she's half black. She's just as black as Obama. It's equal. I'm pretty sure it's the same parental makeup. So, like, can Pete Wentz say it? His mother's Jamaican. Because if Logic can say it, and he does, Pete Wentz can say it. They're
the
same skin tone. Yeah. In America, yeah.
I just feel like I don't think they can't. It'd be weird for me to hear one say it, though. Like, if I saw, this person who I'm like, oh, that person's, like, Egyptian. And then they just did, like, a heart, like, they just dropped it. I'd be like, huh.
My theory as it currently stands is your proximity to the average Jim Crow racist. So
you're saying it's like a culture and upbringing thing.
Yes. Yes, I think if you were viewed as black, you can say it. And would I don't know enough historically. Would Halsey have been viewed as black if we didn't know her dad was black?
See, that's the last thing you're saying, something like, like if you're like that, and then but like you're raised in like Connecticut in a nice neighborhood of like all Harvard white people.
No. I mean, no. Not even Jim Crow, average American racist. What? Would probably, Halsey passes for white, and if they didn't know that her dad was black, they would be chill with
her. You know the lawyer from Boondocks? Like, if someone like him raised like an all-white Connecticut neighborhood said the N-word, I feel like I'd be uncomfortable. Because where is that coming from?
Sure.
Because the only place you would have heard that word growing up.
Yeah.
So, I guess that's what it has to be for me. It's like, how did that word enter your lexicon? If white people put it there, I don't think you're allowed to say it.
I truly think it's proximity to passing.
I'm glad that we can let all minorities know what words they're allowed to say.
Right?
I'm Romani.
I wanted to do the "Can Halsey say the N-word" joke, or like as a joke on stage, and then my friend Daniel beat me to the punchline. Like, just one of those, we had the same thought,
idea,
and to the point where he did it first, and I'm like, here's my line. Like, she's just as black as Obama. Take it. It's your line, because I can't do your bit anymore, so please use my line. And he just straight up refuses to use my line.
Disrespectful.
Thank you.
Disrespectful. Want me to kick his ass for you?
No, it's fine.
I'll kick his ass.
Nah, he and I are going to box at some point.
I'll say Polish pride, and I'll beat his ass.
Mel's
going to text me about the Romani thing. I know she is. She wasn't happy. I think she expressed distaste at me saying I was Romani.
Oh, sure.
I'm like, I've been saying that like I'm a colored person because I'm Polish for years at this point. This is nothing new. Black pride, man, you know?
Sure. My Irish brothers.
Yeah.
We weren't allowed in 3 bars in New York City, and we haven't shut the fuck up about it since.
I think that if anyone would have ever measured your like ancestors' head shape at some point, you're allowed to say you're a minority. I think this grade's a minority for certain.
Sure, 100%.
But like you know, you're. I mean, look at all the stuff my people were. We were put in camps. We were put in Auschwitz and shit. Our kids were taken from us, the blonde ones, and raised by Nazis.
I understand that this is true. This is a fact. There is something about you being 1%.
Well, I'm 60% Pole. I'm speaking about the Polish part. Fuck, I forgot that the other side also did that. Yeah, like two of my bloodlines were in camps. I'm 60% Polish. I mean, you've seen the flag outside my door. The red's for all the blood that was shed by our people due to racism. And the white represents the white we desperately wished we were. And then the big flag, the eagle's there, because eagles are cool.
Hell yeah, brother. Because we're an American now.
I love that you were jumping to the more reasonable conclusion that, oh, he's talking about the 1% Romani. In my head, I'm like, the Polish.
Well, you were just talking about being Romani.
Yeah, I'm Romani Polish. I'm going to start telling people I'm Romani Polish.
You're a Romani Polish.
I'm a Romani
Polish. Also, I love that you're Romani first, even though it's so much lower.
Well, like, Polish Romani doesn't sound as nice, does it? Romani Pole. That sounds nice. That's a good like mouth sound. Romani Pole. Versus like a Polish Romani?
Sure. Romani Pole sounds better than... Sure. Polish Romani sounds better than Romani Polish.
Yeah.
Romani Pole sounds the best.
Yeah, Romani Pole's also what all these whites tied my ancestors to burn us.
I'm going to have to bring my actually Romani friend onto this show and just have the two of you talk.
I got to learn Romani so I can greet them in our native tongue.
Jesus
Christ. Please do. I love the Romani. at a Romani friend in high school.
Nice.
Good culture, good food.
I went,
which is how I judge most cultures, is how's their food? How's their food? How's their music? How's their, like, festivals? That's all I care about.
Sure, 100%.
So I hate wasps. Food sucks. The music sucks. I guess Creed's okay. I like Creed a lot. Is Creed wasp music?
Creed is wasp
music. I feel like more than that, though, it's folk music at this point, right? It's American folk music, Creed.
No.
Like not like folk music, the genre, but like folk music as like, you know, like, oh, Susanna's a folk music.
I don't think so, but I want to live in that world.
In 100 years, when they go to like 2000s villages.
I'm 6 feet from the edge, and I'm thinking.
There's going to be a guy there singing that thing, like, it's so rustic. It's so rustic. You go to the Americana Fair? I hear they're playing Creed. They have a really good Creed person down there. They really get into it.
Do you hear Oliver Anthony is covering Creed?
I just love going down to the Americana village where I can watch, you know, I watch there's a woman who plays like a housewife and you can watch her work on the air fryer and sing Creed.
I think Nine Inch Nails is going to be more Americana folk music than Creed is. Hurt already is.
Yeah, Hurt is. That's one song, though. Creed got so many.
Three?
Yeah, it's more than one.
Maybe? Two? Really?
It's going to be in future museums.
I
learned about the first...
In the Rock Hall, Creed probably is there.
I learned about the oldest museum in the world recently.
Oh?
You ready for this?
Sure.
So it was this like Iranian, like that area, Persian, princess who just collected shit.
Hell yeah.
And then she put it all in the palace and like put little placards and stuff. She was traveling around collecting shit. And then like years later, archaeologists found it. And they're like, why the fuck is there all this old shit that's like thousands of years older than the rest of this place? Is that placards? And they realized they found like the oldest known museum.
Did you hear about the people who broke into the London Museum?
Yeah. There's a lot of good Lupin the Third memes about it.
I've been seeing Mission Impossible.
Mission Impossible.
Yeah.
Nothing surprises me anymore. We're living in the most chaotic timeline. Reality's completely fallen apart.
The thing that makes me chuckle is that they found the crown directly outside the museum, which means they grabbed it, started running, realized, oh shit, I can't handle all of this, and just dropped some.
Maybe they didn't like it.
Maybe
they're like on the way, they're like, actually, this crown kind of sucks.
If they don't sell it, they're not going to get caught. That's where most people fuck up.
Yeah.
So I don't know what they have to gain. I guess breaking the diamond down into smaller diamonds so that it's not as easily traceable, but like, or melting the gold into forming other gold.
I think you're kind of like also overlooking the fact that you can put it on and pretend to be a French monarch. Maybe it's for sexy role play. You want to get a little high fucking someone who's wearing the French royal diamonds pretending to be like King Louis?
Sure. I get the appeal.
Come into my fuck room. It's got a bed and all the great masterpieces of the world that I've stolen.
Like, as you're being muppeted, you just like get to look at the Mona Lisa? Like, yeah, what's your...
Well, they're rearranging my guts. I'm staring at the ceiling and there's a Picasso.
It's like, I feel like...
That's my tummy!
Right now,
that's
right.
Me! That's my ass! It's an immersive experience. I just feel that's more class than what I normally do, which is just throw Muppets all around the fucking room. And I like, so, you know, like I'm being torn apart and I'm holding Kermit's hand. I'm like, I feel you, brother. Stupid.
This is our dumbest bit. I genuinely thought Ken Halsey say the N-word was gonna be our dumbest bit of this episode. This is the dumbest bit of the episode.
That's fucking stupid. This is Halloween updates. I'm Matthew Olenchek, local Halloween expert. You may know me from my appearances on television, being the definite expert of Halloween. And I have an update. Harrison's lukewarm to Halloween.
I like no this longer movie hates more it. The second time.
No longer hates I it. Now he's lukewarm.
It. I never... First
are,
off...
Are you a Halloween expert? Are you the Halloween expert?
First off, my review last year was 4 out of 10. And we're now at like a 5.5. Like...
Yeah, but like people call me Matthew... Spookmaster General Olenchek.
Okay, but a 4 out of 10 is not hatred. That's just like, I don't love it.
Hated Halloween, but he's come around. No longer hates Halloween. He's stopped kicking over jack-o'-lanterns, stopped stealing kids' candy, and he's learned to become lukewarm to it. So he's giving out not fun-size Snickers, just the really kind of... Or he is giving out fun-size, not the big ones.
There's a Kyle Kinane joke about him moving to his neighborhood in Portland and being full-size candy bar guy, and how it freaked out his neighbors because he showed up with out-of-state plates in, like, September, and then immediately, with no kids, became full-size candy bar guy. And it was like, well, buddy, how can I tell if you're Spider-Man if you don't come over and let me see you?
It's just the plate thing. No. I also double dip trick or treating because my mom's nursing home. They would.
Me too.
Yeah, yep, yeah. And they wouldn't always give like big bars, but there were so many people there that it didn't matter. You'd be walking with so much fucking candy.
Yep.
Because there's a bunch of old women who would just give you like they're giving you the equivalent of a big Snickers bar, because they're just handing you handfuls of like the bite-sized ones.
I miss nursing home trick-or-treating more than I miss trick-or-treating around my like regular neighborhood and my grandparents' neighborhood.
Sometimes I forget how much time I spent in a nursing home growing up. Like it just seemed like
it was so normalized.
It was so normalized. Like I spent a lot, especially during the summers, like when I didn't have school and like I'd be sent off to some camp during the day.
Sure.
Oftentimes my mom would take me there, but she worked earlier, so I would be at the nursing home like playing like Harvest Moon on a Game Boy.
Yeah, me too.
It's why I always associate Lord of Dune cookies with good health, because they always had Lord of Dune cookies. I'm like, ah yes, the cookies of nursing.
My mother used to be the director of rehab at a place, and whenever I was sick or just like she needed to take me for some reason, she would, and I got to know a bunch of the patients there. At one point I ended up just in one of the patients' room watching cartoons, eating Doritos with her.
I love it.
She had one leg and she's passed now, but I miss her a lot. I had friends there, man. But then when I didn't want to really talk to people, you just like play Mario 64 on the DS or Pokemon on your little DS in the corner. Like, or I would bring a book. Like it was a grand old time.
It's wild I didn't follow my family into nursing, considering how much time I spent in nursing homes and how much Scrubs I watched.
I don't know if we've said the movie yet. It's Trick or Treat year 2, everybody.
We're going to keep watching until he gives it 5 stars.
That's probably never going to happen. Though who knows? I mean, at this rate, it will be six more years.
We're gonna just keep watching it until he learns to love it. Like a man abducting a woman and keeping her in his basement, we're going to Stockholm the boy.
It's a lot of the tonal issues that I had the first time around exist, but they are smoother when I know going in. Like, I think it doesn't commit enough to be slapstick, to be full splatstick. But like it takes itself a little too seriously, tonally horror dramatic, to like fully commit to the comedy bits. But it's also like a little too silly at points to be fully scary.
I think that's a result of the anthology nature.
Sure. Also, a thing I have discovered about myself generally is I don't love anthologies. I appreciate what they try and do this time. Cutting between the anthologies as if it's a real movie, but instead of just like 4 chapters, though a part of me would want to see if there is like a secret cut, just what the 4 chapters would be in like the little comic book interstitials. I will also say this time around made me want to read the comic book as opposed to last year. I had no desire last year to delve any more into the lore.
5 years from now, you'll be out on the roofs and the spookiest day of the year, screaming, "I love, my name is Harrison Poole, and I finally love Halloween."
I can't wait for like 5 years from now, having absorbed all of the trick or treat media and like maybe deep dove enough to like write a thesis, write an essay collection or a thesis about it. And the book comes out and people are like, "You must love this movie." And I'm like, "It's fun." It's like a 6 out of 10.
You're like on CNN as like an expert on trick or treat.
Yeah.
And you're giving like lectures on it.
But I'm on the record being like, it's okay. So we kind of went through the plot last year. Do we want to go through the plot again or like?
No, I think this is going to be a shorter episode.
I agree. But okay. So even for all of my issues with this movie tonally, I still think the principal with the dead kid, I don't think that scene totally works because I don't think it commits enough in either direction. I think it's trying to play best of both worlds, and
that's my favorite one.
That's fair. It's my least favorite by far.
I adore when he's the scene when he's in the yard arguing with his neighbor while he's trying to like bury this guy kid who wasn't dead yet.
Sure.
Fantastic scene.
I think that works, but I think the introduction of it with the vomiting is so much vomit that it's so close to being slapstick, but then he plays it too straight. Like, Evil Dead 2 to me works, at least in my head, because it goes so far, and it goes just as far into the comedy bits as it does to the scary
bits.
Someone
vomits, I think.
That's not how much.
Well, because there's the one movie where the kid poisons the father, the soup. He was like, "What did you do?" Because the kid isn't eating it, and then he vomits on the table, and it's like a lot of vomit. Like, think how much stuff you have in your tum-tum.
Sure.
Right? And there's also, there's fluids.
Sure.
I think it's, you've eaten a lot of candy.
See, even then, be less realistic. Like, if that is a lot of vomit, go, I want 3 times as much. I want 4 times as much. I want, like...
You're asking a lot of this poor child actor.
See,
he goes to school after filming the scene that is they did it, and they're like, "Oh, cool, you're the movie kid. You go vomiting 3 times as much, now you're a vomit boy." You have to think about the kids.
Okay.
You want the kid to be vomit boy and then vomit man?
I think it's if he believed in the art.
And then
I think...
he goes to propose and she's like, "No, you were the vomit boy."
First off, is he proposing to a stranger?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, I guess not. Like the someone who didn't know him when he was a kid. That's how I took stranger. Not like he's like going up to a random person and proposing. Now.
So ideally,
but it's someone that didn't know him as a child. Yeah.
When he has been dating them at bare minimum for months.
And the whole it's been very abusive. They've been just constantly ridiculing him for his vomit.
Then
boy
why
pants.
Did she stay that long?
Dick was good. He laid down pipe.
Okay. Anyway, I don't think it commits much enough in either direction. I think the werewolf scene is excellent. That's my favorite. Is the lesbian
the werewolf scene is very good.
It's so good.
It's one of my favorite werewolf transformations. I think I like how they do it a lot. I always like when they like peel the skin off.
For as low budget as this movie is, it's so impressive.
They know what to show and they know what not to show.
Yes. I will say for the budget that this movie, I want to say this was easily under 10. I want to say this was under 5 million, by the way.
They made this for $4.
No, in case the listener is like didn't know what I mean.
They had a gift.
Oh, it was 12. I mean, still looks good. It was a $12 million budget, which is still nothing.
I think a lot of that went towards the werewolves. It had to.
It had to have.
And you know what else? Probably locations. I feel like the quarry scene would have been expensive. And like the werewolf scene was probably expensive. That's probably where most of the money went to.
The werewolf I get. The quarry has a lot of like...
Didn't they sink a bus? You see the bus sink, right?
You see the aftermath of the bus. They didn't sink the bus, like...
I swear, am I misremembering? They show the bus going into the water at the end of the flashback.
You see the bus tipped over and you see the masks float to the top.
Yeah, they had to put a bus in the water. It's money. Okay. Maybe they drove a real bus off the edge too, just to get it right.
I mean, when we filmed Hellvan, we drove a real police car off the cliff.
Yeah, that cost you like $14 million.
All of Hellvan cost $50,000.
Millions of dollars to get a good bus. But the werewolves cost, so like probably cost a bunch too.
Oh, those werewolves probably were half this budget.
Yeah, 100%. That was,
Which makes sense because like what's the other big effect? Samhain,
yeah,
which is 90% in the dark anyway, so like it doesn't need to look amazing because you're not going to see a lot of it.
Yeah,
it's the Jaws idea of like,
but then you gotta like do the whole like werewolf transformation with skin that
has to
off.
Look good.
That has to look good.
Not only is that, does that have to look good because it's like you need it to look good, but that's in the light. Like that, if that looks bad, you can see it, but Samhain, his like pumpkin head.
You don't want to look bad and you don't want to piss off the werewolf fuckers.
Right, exactly.
They're an angry lot. And they're legion. There's a lot of them.
For as much as I don't love this movie, this movie's fine. As much as I don't love this movie, Sam as a horror icon rules. Every moment he's on screen, I genuinely enjoy. It's the parts when he's not on screen.
They're all so good.
Like he's barely on screen for any of the principal, and so it's the worst one. And he's on screen a little bit more for the kids, and so it's a little bit better. It's still child acting, but it's a little bit better. He's there in spirit in the werewolves, and so he's
there in spirit in every scene. He's the spirit of Halloween.
Nah, the best parts of this movie outside of the werewolf ceremony, it are the parts when Sam is on screen, and every part where he isn't outside of the werewolf ceremony and the bookends, not worth it.
Hey, it's Halloween, folks. Hates Halloween.
Okay.
I'd like to withdraw my previous statement as incorrect. I hadn't heard the not worth it statement yet. I apologize for deceiving our audience. We're still on Harrison Hates Halloween watch.
For thinking he makes this movie better, and if you
saying
were
that without
more,
him, saying that the scenes without him aren't worth it,
absolutely not.
Yeah, see, that's a man that hates Halloween.
Any other insane Halloween takes before we wrap this up? This is just gonna be a short episode.
Yeah, not what takes have I said that are insane?
That if you don't like Trick or Treat, you hate Halloween. That if you don't dress as a sexy cat at least once, you hate Halloween.
Correct.
No, it's not. Okay. Last year, your big take was if you don't do a couple's costume, you don't love each other.
Did I say that?
Yes, you
did. It's 100% true.
No, it's not.
It's 100% true.
No, it's not.
Name a couple that doesn't do couple costumes.
Geneva and I
hate each other. Next.
Geneva and I love each other
hate
very
each
much.
Then why aren't you doing couple's costumes?
Because we don't want to.
Leave it up for the listeners to decide, I suppose. Like the end of a really shitty true crime podcast. They're like, it's up to you to decide what's true.
Does the woman I've been dating for 4 years love me?
Oh, my grandparents have been married
for... Who repeatedly says she loves me every day?
My grandparents have been married for 70 years and they do not love each other.
Okay, do they say they love each other?
They don't really talk. Recently, my grandmother was hitting him because he's senile and strapped into a bed now. And she has to feed him and he wouldn't eat because she's feeding him too much. So she started beating him. I'm not sure that should be in the podcast. Maybe cut that out. No, leave it in. My mom doesn't listen.
I'm cutting it out. Oh, your mom doesn't listen anymore?
I don't think she listens. So you can leave that in. It's a test. Call me out, mother.
I'm done. Do you have any final thoughts?
Yeah. So remember, respect all the Halloween traditions this year. Sam's going to get you. And I hope for all you single folk out there, if you haven't already done so, that your sexy cat costumes are fantastic.
If you want to be one,
and I
yes.
hope for all you couples out there that you win Best Couple Costume Award.
Sure.
Because if you don't, you should probably stop seeing each other. And that's all I got to say about that.
Do you want to do socials?
Yeah, I can do socials. If you want to see my wonderful Oliver Tree costume, if I remember to post, depends how much I drink. If you want to possibly see it if I don't drink too much, you can find me. Do I do the show? The show socials?
It doesn't matter. You flip flop all the time.
You can find me at Midwest_magician. If you want to see a possible duo picture of me and Harrison in our Halloween costumes, Too Many Movie Podcast on Instagram. Am I missing any?
We weren't doing the fanfics yet, so who do you want the ex-reader of this movie?
I don't know if there's any of-age women in this movie.
All of the werewolf women.
Are they of age? They're like 18.
The youngest is 22.
Oh, yeah, you're right. If you want to find the oldest werewolf... and send me a fanfic.
I want to say it's the sister.
Yeah, if you want to do that.
He's probably like 26, 27.
Yeah, that's reasonable. That's good. If you want to send me the oldest sister werewolf, I don't want to die in it. But you want to send that, you can send that to the twomanmoviepodcast@gmail.com.
You can find me on Instagram, TikTok, Threads, and Lemonade at harrisonpool.com. HarrisonPooledotcom. HarrisonPool.com. Or you can follow me on Letterboxd at HDPOOLE124.
Every time I'm like, it's so long.
Thank you so much to Tristan Hostetter for our theme music. Thank you guys for listening. This is our Halloween episode. Tune in next week for our first episode of November. We talked about still doing vampire movies. Are we doing that? Are you gonna bring Francis Ford and I bring John Carpenter?
Maybe. I do want to bring Superman.
Okay, we'll figure it out. Anyway, tune in next week for whatever movie we decide. Thank you for listening. So long and good night.
Hugs and kisses.
This is Matthew and Harrison's Two Men in a Movie. It's not what it sounds like.